You're listening to The Kelly Track Show. I'm your host, Kelly Track, author, coach, and eternal optimist. Each week, I'll give you lessons to elevate your life, reclaim your personal power, and truly awaken and transform. Your best life starts right now. Hey, my lovely friends, welcome back. Thank you as always for tuning in and for listening. I always appreciate you swinging by and hanging out with me for the hour on the pod. So thank you for listening wherever you are in the world right now. So support for today's episode comes from Four Sigmatic. Four Sigmatic is my favorite coffee alternative. I am currently waiting for my mushroom matcha to arrive in the mail. I've got that on order. I'm curious to check it out. I've always been a coffee person, and the mushroom elixir with cordyceps has been my favorite go-to in the little small pockets, but I'm excited to try this one out because it should be really good and curious. So I'm waiting for that one to come in the mail. I'm like that person that checks in the mail every single day in their building. I'm like, where is this stuff? I love my Four Sigmatic, and I have been really enjoying it because it's got half the amount of caffeine compared to regular coffee. I've been working on cutting back my caffeine intake and trying to sleep more because there was a point where I was drinking four coffees a day, and that was not living my best life and not having a very good time. So this is so much more better for me and my body. If you want to give Four Sigmatic a try, you can use the promo code KELLYTRACK, which is all one word, at checkout for 15% off your order. And you can use it anytime if it's your first order, your eighth order, if it's a small order or a big order. That promo code is always good for 15% off. Now, today on the podcast, I am so excited to welcome Jackie Carr to the show. OMG. I love Jackie. I'm a really big Jackie Carr fangirl. I love Rock Your Bliss, and she is one of the co-founders of Rock Your Bliss, and she's a coach that I adore working with. I so adore how she talks. I resonate with the way she explains stuff, and I feel like she's one of those people where when she talks, I listen and I get it, and it really resonates and lands with me. Jackie Carr has been inspiring me literally since that first time I met her, and I'll explain about that in today's episode. But she is somebody that really illuminated what is possible for my life. And if you don't know who Jackie is, I will fill you in on the details. So Jackie Carr is a goal coach, writer, motivational speaker, and mama. She is the co-creator of Rock Your Bliss, a transformation company with the mission to bring your intentions to action. As a leader in transformation, her coaching style includes real and honest conversations and true connection to your most powerful and whole self. She has her Lightyear Leadership Certification, her 200-hour Yoga Teacher Certification, and Gems of Excellence Level 1 and 2 certifications. Jackie has worked with companies such as Patagonia, Lululemon, Manduka, Facebook, Toms, and Nike on leadership and culture. She believes in a world where we all truly belong, and each and every one of us has unique gifts to contribute. You can find Jackie in Evergreen, Colorado, hiking with her man, little girl Evie, with a little one on the way, and two pups all over the Rocky Mountains. I am so excited to welcome Jackie Carr to the show today, and I'm really, really excited for you to listen to this episode. So we are going to jump right in. Well, welcome to the show, Jackie. I'm super excited to have you here.
Great to be on. Kelly, congrats on your podcast. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's definitely a product of 7 weeks. So I really have you to thank, you and MV. So the credit goes back to you guys, for real.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. We love watching you grow and thrive. It's so awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, I feel like you guys were, I was thinking about this today. I feel like the metaphor I would use to describe it was that you guys like put the fuel in the rocket for the rocket ship to take off. So I really appreciate it.
Oh my God. I love being fuel. Bring it on.
Well, I've been following you forever because I found 7 weeks through you, and I found MB through you, but I first got introduced to you when you came to Vancouver for that workshop at that Lululemon warehouse party back in like maybe 2013.
Oh my God, so long ago.
Yeah, so long ago. That's when I remember like hearing of you, and you were doing that talk, and I still remember you had those turquoise hunter boots, I'm pretty sure.
I definitely did. I was going to say that.
That's like one of my vivid memories. I can't remember what you were wearing, but those like turquoise boots just really stood out in my mind. But I remember thinking, oh my God, this person is so cool. And then I pretty much followed you ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. That was such a big warehouse. I spoke in with the amazing Julie Ball in those turquoise shoes, and I had a short pixie haircut. I feel like it was like 8 lifetimes ago.
Wow, I can't remember the haircut, but I definitely remember. I remember you posted that photo in your email about with that photo of you with Brené Brown, which is so cool. And you had the short hair. You look good in the short hair too.
Oh my God, you're sweet. Never again, but you're very sweet.
So I have some Jackie Carr themed rapid fire Q&A before we get started. So if you are ready, oh I shall begin.
I'm ready. Okay. I had a cinnamon roll for breakfast, so I'm really ready.
Okay, perfect. Colored leggings or black leggings?
Colored.
Beanie hat or fedora?
Beanie.
Birkenstocks or Chacos?
Oh! Okay, I you're going to hate me. This isn't so rapid. Birks with socks while camping, Chacos in the summer while hiking.
That's a good answer. It's a good answer. Best of both worlds. Okay. Bulletproof coffee or regular coffee?
Bulletproof every day.
Nice. Because I wasn't going to ask the matcha question because that's okay.
I'm a coffee girl.
I know. I'm also a coffee person. Christmas or your birthday?
Christmas.
Paperback or hardcover?
Oh, well, always print. You know what I like? I like hardback with the paper cover removed.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Yoga class or a hike?
Hike.
The Alchemist or Eastern Body, Western Mind?
The Alchemist.
Favorite week in 7 weeks to bliss?
Root, week one.
Favorite chakra?
Favorite. Okay, hold on. Favorite chakra, Jackie. I would say the one I've done the most on in my life since learning about the chakras is the sacral chakra. Though it's my hardest, most emotional, I make it my favorite, so it's still my focus.
I love that. It's a good one. Good answer, too. Leading a mountainside retreat or an oceanside retreat?
Wow, you really did your homework. Okay.
I've been following you for years. I did these in like a minute.
Oh my God. This is so hard for me. You know what? I live in the mountains, so I'm going to lead a retreat at the ocean.
Nice. Self-help or fiction?
Oh my God. Self-help all the way, Kelly.
Yeah, me too. Me too. One of my friends was talking with me for coffee on the weekend and I was like, oh, I don't even go to the fiction section anymore. I'm like so deep down the self-help rabbit hole, but I love it. It's my jam.
It's mine too. I like a good young adult. Like I could do a Harry Potter series. I just finished a young adult book last night. I got to spice it up sometimes, but you know, you'll find me in the self-help section of the library right next to you.
Oh yeah. So you did great. Those are really rapid. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
So before we dive in, what did the first hour of your day look like and what did you eat for breakfast other than the beautiful cinnamon roll?
Oh, that was my second breakfast. Nice. I'm pregnant during this recording. Mm-hmm. So my first hour, I woke up and my daughter was still asleep. So I woke up, I actually, I'm a big teeth brusher. I have one of those very nice mechanical toothbrushes. And I do love a teeth ritual. So I brush my teeth and I will be honest with you, I didn't wash my face.
That's okay.
And I did spend a little time on Instagram. I post for Rock Your Bliss on Monday. So today was my Rock Your Bliss post day. So I got my post done. I came downstairs and wow, honestly, I had a jam-packed morning. I got a few emails done before my kiddo wakes up. I made breakfast and I packed her lunch and I let the dogs out and I got out this cute gratitude journal and a pen, but it's still sitting next to me. I haven't written in it, but it's here. That's an intention. And then I heard my sweet baby girl wake up. So I have an almost 2-year-old. So I went up And I get her up in the morning. She's so happy. Oh my God, I'm a morning person somehow. She's so happy in the morning. She did a little jig and we get dressed for school. She had on bell bottoms this morning. Aww. Jean bell bottoms. I could die.
Oh my gosh.
And we came down and her breakfast was ready and we listened to Lion King.
Aww.
While eating breakfast, she loves Hakuna Matata and like sings parts of the words. It's amazing. And we had a quick phone call with Daddy at work to say good morning. And then I took her to school. That was my hour this morning.
Wow. That's great. You got so much done. I'm so impressed.
That's super packed. Oh my gosh. Somebody listening is probably like, holy shit, I'm exhausted. Which me too, human listening.
But I mean, hey, you did a ton, which is, it's amazing. It feels sometimes so good to be able to like get stuff done, but also like do it intentionally. And like kind of when you're in the flow and then you can get stuff done in a short amount of time, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a superpower almost. So I totally resonate with that.
By Monday, Cal, I'm ready to work. Like, I get excited about what's going on, and I talk to my book club on Mondays, and I love what I do, so it's lucky, or not lucky, I've chosen it. So I'm very excited about the life I've created, and it's pretty fun to pack it in. Oh, I forgot breakfast. I had eggs and oatmeal, so you know.
Nice. So I wanna jump right in and talk to you about goals, but like not the usual goal convo, the deeper stuff. So I want to talk about goal fails and not getting what you want. We're going to start with that one because you shared this beautiful post on Instagram recently. And one of my favorite things that I learned from Rock Your Bliss and from you and MB of all time was that the best way to practice trust is to look back at the things that you really wanted and that they didn't come true and something better came out of it. How do you practice that trust when the goal isn't really working out?
Yeah. Oh, goal failure. It's top of mind for me right now because I've failed a lot of goals, Kel. And in staying true to your path, I love writing down goals. I'm a big to-do lister. I'm a very big picture thinker. And from that big picture, I pull out a lot of my goals of where I want to be, what I want to be doing, who I want to be doing it with. And of course, I set goals with a date on them. So by when that I'm doing them. And I find in my experience thus far, so many of my goals have happened. And I would say a greater amount of my goals have not happened, which is an interesting ratio as a goal coach to have. And yet, through those failures, every time I learn something about myself, whether it's what I actually wanted, whether or not I was ready for that goal to take place, or whether it was actually my goal, I can do a lot of comparison and I can choose goals that sound really fluffy or fun for other people and not great for me. So those have been my key learnings from failure experience thus far. Always learning, being able to connect back to my values and see if that goal was actually for me, and really acknowledging and honoring the timing. And you ask, how do we stay intentional with that, especially if you're a new goal setter? Or perhaps I've had a lot of people who don't set goals anymore. They're too type A, or they don't like it. Or perhaps, you know, failure has been too big of a theme and you have to press pause. And I think that's all part of the process. However, when you're setting goals, I find for me, I was an aggressive goal setter when I started. I was like, well, if I don't check this off, then I'm worthless and I failed. And I made that part of my identity. And yet my goal setting practice now is steeped in openness. So I set the goal and I cross-reference my values, my roots, my core truths. I cross-check my vision. Is this actually where I want to go, or am I in comparison? So I check in and then I actually see how it feels in my body now. How does this goal feel? Do I get excited? Does it freak me out? Is it kind of like wah, wah, or is it one that I'm super stoked to tell everybody? And so I do a lot of filtering in regards to staying true. Filter through my values, filter through my vision, filter through my body. Oh, Kel, you know, the body always knows. Mm-hmm. And so my truth to goal setting and my openness to failure is in this space of really being the sole proprietor of my goals, asking for help, and being open to failure with an openness to all the paths that will open up from that.
I love that. And I love how you cross-check it and reference it, because it's very easy for me to set goals. As you guys, as I shared in Rock Your Bliss, that goals is easy, intentions is where I really try to do the practice. And it can be such a fine line between setting goals internally versus setting goals externally. And that in the age of social media, it can feel like, oh, this might be a good goal for me. And then you see somebody else and then you're like, oh, like, holy shit, I'm doing this all wrong. Like, whoa, why did I not think of it like that? Or how come it's not bigger like that? Or why am I not going to Bali right now? I love that, how you check in and cross check your vision and how it feels in your body, because, oh man, that's such a beautiful little indicator that I think we forget a lot. Like, oh, how does this actually feel? Because like when I like have to do a check-in, like it doesn't feel good to try to be Lewis Howes. That does not feel good for me at all. And that's like something I always have to remind myself to check in and remember that it's my internal goals, not making goals externally by any means. So I love that you shared that. Thank you.
Yeah. An intentional goal setting practice. It takes a while to figure out what that means to each and every one of us. It's hard to look up SMART goals or ways to write a goal in Google. You actually have to really trial and error it and find your own goal style.
Mm-hmm. So how do you practice the let go and the spiritual surrender when it comes to your goals?
Oh my gosh, great question.
I'm asking this for myself. I'm just going to out myself out right now.
Yeah. Honestly, one of my clients is going to laugh if she listens to this. I have a song that I really listen to around goal setting, and it's the song Hold On Loosely by 38 Special. We might have to add it into the show notes,
Kel.
Yeah. And the song chorus is like, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. Mm. And so I like to sing that really loud in my car to myself. And I've actually been talking about this a lot lately with the letting go, because my teacher taught me, her name is Suzanne Conrad. She runs Light Year Leadership. And she taught me this really cool language shift between attached and committed. Mm-hmm. When I'm attached to a goal, or when I'm attached to the outcome of a goal being a specific way, hello expectations, then that attachment creates a really tight, controlling grip. And it actually, for me, Kelly, it creates tunnel vision. It creates a little bit of jaw tightening in my face and this wrinkle in between my eyebrows, like I'm forcing something versus allowing or letting it flow. And when I'm on the flip side, committed to a goal, my commitment is actually to the process, to myself, and to the requests I've made of myself to make this goal possible. And so it allows me to be open. It allows me to have fresh eyes and look around at who. I don't think goals can happen by yourself. And I find that the commitment there allows me to have more freedom. So when, like you're asking, the goal perhaps goes sideways, upside down, backwards, or doesn't happen at all, because that can happen, mm-hmm. and it has happened to me many times, I find if the letting go's not happening, I was attached to the way I wanted my life to look, to the way I thought things would go and then didn't. And of course, if I love the language you use of spiritually surrender and actually open my eyes to the new path that's probably being created already, there's commitment there to ask myself, do I still want this goal? Can I let this goal go? Can I move the date? And so it allows you to be a lot more dynamic in your life versus rigid. And in that letting go, holding on, I want you to know I do mourn the goal sometimes. There's sometimes sadness or anger that has to take place. Goals are not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. I would never promise that with goal setting. However, I find that the depth of our humanness is in, you know, the depth of our light and darkness. So I see when I'm angry or even calling myself a failure or over-identifying with the expectation I had, this is where my letting go process, Kel, needs most likely an action, a run, a hike to think it out, my best friend to talk it over with, be it a journal entry, something that allows me to move it out of my system or actually move it into my system so it can move out. So I'm a let it go person with an action, be it a book, a new goal, something that allows me to know I have let go.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea of the like physical release and the physical let go, because that's something that really resonates with me, because the mental let go, I mean, I can do it, but I love that you shared about this idea of physically letting go through like reading something and touching a physical book and like understanding that you're resonating with the words on the paper or going for a run and like physically releasing it. That's something that I'm going to use more often. So thank you. I'm going to borrow that one.
I would love to be one of those people that could just meditate or mentally let it go. Maybe when I'm 50, like when I grow up some more. I know myself well enough to know I'm not there yet, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So where do you draw the line between this one side of like forcing it and making it happen and like physically efforting out towards your goal versus allowing it to flow and be easy?
Yeah. I mean, I would never recommend forcing. I don't know if that's a line you want to play with, to be honest. And it might be one you have to fall into to find your style. When I'm forcing a goal, I'm out of balance. When I'm forcing a goal, I'm out of balance. So I know in my 20s, I was so career focused, like beyond career focused. I worked at Lululemon. I wore the spandex. I drank the Kool-Aid and I yogaed morning, noon, and night. And I set goals within the company to launch events, to get promoted, whatever it may be. And I found that so much of my self-worth was actually wrapped up in those goals. And I was forcing them to actually be proud of myself or feel validated or feel important, to be honest. And when I'm in the flow, I actually have less goals, Kelly. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my goal list was like 20 goals, and that's so many. That's so many for my sweet, sweet brain. I would say my life right now, I play in the realm of 3 to 6 goals a year. And of course, there's steps to getting to those, but those are like the big goals that make my heart beat. Instead of putting like all this pressure on myself with 27 goals. And so when we are in this space, as you've been exploring with being intentional with your time, being responsible with your energy by aligning to what matters to you and your values, being true to your friendships and your family, whatever your golden rules are, this is where I find my goals flow more than force, because I'm being true to myself. I'm doing the dirty work of being responsible personally for the life that I want and not forcing it on others or on time, mm-hmm. but actually being in this space of, is this the right time? Is this the right goal? Is this the right question? And that takes so much, it still takes me so much practice. And yet when I was forcing goals, I was never happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you can lean into your goal flow, this is where I find life gets really juicy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And there's so many nuggets of wisdom that you shared in that answer alone, because I think it's so easy for many of us to get caught up in that validation and setting goals to make ourselves feel important.
Yeah.
And the fun and the fluidity and the unfolding really does come when you're just in the flow. I've recently had to really redo goals, like really redo them, and just eliminate anything that was from external sources or stuff that I was trying to prove. Oh, geez, that's an old habit of mine that I have been really working myself out of, that one, this need to like prove. But it's like, prove to who? Like, that kind of, those people I don't need to quote unquote prove to anymore, because I was like, whatever, like elementary school friends, or like not being a part of the crowd, or like old teachers that are not in my life anymore. But the mind can be a little trickster like that, where it still wants to be good and like valid, and you want to prove yourself. And then I just appreciate what you shared so much, because I feel like it totally landed for me when you said it, and where I'm at in my life now versus definitely where I used to be. So thank you. I feel like that would resonate for a lot of listeners too.
Yeah. I know this about you, Kelly, so I'm going to hone in on this because you shared it. I know fun is a big factor for you in your life right now, which when I look at your pictures of you smiling, I always feel fun, just so you know.
Oh, thank you.
However, I think you saw, I chose fun for my monthly intention this month. And this means wearing brighter colors. I mean, it could be as simple as that. This can also be making fun plans with people that are fun. I had to ask myself, similar to, I know you did this too, what does fun even mean to me right now? And laughing till I cried was something I saw in my brain. And I actually did that this weekend. My family was all at my house and we were literally crying, laughing. And I find that when I'm taking myself too seriously, nothing is flowing.
Yeah.
And that same time I talked to you about goal forcing in my 20s, I went to the tattoo shop and I got a mustache on my finger. And I know a lot of people have it. It's very hipster. However, I got it because I was taking my spandex yoga life too seriously. And it reminded me to chill out and have more fun. And so I think this is a shared intention that anyone listening, I would say try it on for the day. How can I have more fun in this hour, in this day, in this week, and literally see what happens with your goals or your intentions or your to-do list? Because it is a game changer, right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, totally. And a big thing I've been doing lately, Jackie, is I try to call my work my play.
Yes.
Because I was always like, people like, what are you doing? I'm working, I'm working, I'm working. And Chris, my partner, is always like, oh, are you free for a call or a walk? Or I'm like, oh, I'm working, I'm working. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, I keep iterating this out loud with like the spoken word. And that's like no fun. So now I try to call it play whenever I catch myself.
I love that.
Being really like forcey, or like going back to old methods of kind of grind. And I know the whole like hustle and flow, which I so loved in level two, but anytime I find myself sort of dipping into that old pattern, that is very easy for me to go to try to be like, play, this is play. Like, what if this was play? What if your work was your play? And that just makes everything like an instant mood booster. So I'm loving that one right now.
Girl, you know, I believe in the power of language. So I could just slow clap for you over here with that. Good job.
Thank you.
Very good job.
Thank you. Very much a Rock Your Bliss inspired moment for me.
I love that. Good job, Cal.
Thank you. So how do you practice boundaries with goals, as in not taking on other people's vision for your life, or in flip, forcing your vision on other people, which I am very guilty of?
Oh my gosh, this is such fun. Okay. Boundaries and goals. Oh man, you are just rocking my heart right now. I'm in this work with myself right now. So, okay. Number one, we're going to say it 800 times on this podcast, Kelly, but people need to hear it again. We have got to be in relationship with our bodies to feel when we're off. Mm-hmm. Okay. My body sounds an alarm when my boundaries have been crossed. And I want you to know that a lot of the times that alarm is going off because the boundaries that are being crossed are by my own damn self. I'm crossing boundaries with old beliefs, inner critic thoughts, or mean ways of thinking around, like, oh, you can't do that. You'll fail. You're not ready. Look who did it already, right? Like, all these mean thoughts can come up when goal setting, and your body will tell you, Kelly, like I said, my jaw starts to clench to protect my sweet, fragile heart. Because as loud and aggressive as I may be, I'm so sensitive. I crouch over a bit like a, you know, hunchback of Notre Dame, and I protect, and I feel my shoulders becoming earrings, and I'm almost like a turtle with a tight jaw. And because we're going there on this podcast, I even clench my butt clenches, mm-hmm. which is a great workout, but my back hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm all crooked. And that alarm to me is one of the first indicators that something's off. And of course, this can happen with other people. You all listening, and Kelly, you know, when you are in a space with someone who has said something that's either hurt your feelings, disrupted what you believe to be true about the world or your values, feels like sandpaper in your ears, someone has crossed your boundary, whether mentally or physical, you feel it. A lot of these people are energy vampires. A lot of these people are complainers. And so we want to, as humans, be in connection. And yet, sometimes when I sacrifice my own self, or I start complaining, or I start to say I'll take things on for someone, I can feel in my body this is not in alignment with my goals or what I want for myself, for my family, for my vision. And so how I rock boundaries is really, really being in the practice of listening to my body when something feels off and being able to restore choice, because it is so much about choice, being able to restore with what we do at Rock Your Bliss, a boundary mantra, mm-hmm. where I say, like, I am here, I am clear. Mm-hmm. And that's where I check in. And oh my God, there's so many times I'm not clear. And so being able to have practices of what's blocking me, is there an incorrect belief, or being able to actually like move people out of your sacred space energetically. And this is boundaries work, like level 4, but being able to actually do that so you can have clarity of mind, clarity of goals, is going to be a game changer for me in my own practice as I practice it, as well as anyone who is seeing that they're setting goals for their parents. They're setting goals just for work, or they're setting goals to make their partner happy at the sacrifice of their own happiness. And a woman emailed me, well, that feels selfish to do that. And I responded with the reminder that we've got to be wise selfish. Mm-hmm. We have to be selfish sometimes with our goals, because that's us loving ourselves enough to choose our goals, our vision, and know that when we're moving in that direction, it's making so many more people happy, because mm-hmm. we're doing what we are meant to be doing. And in regards to your follow-up question with pushing your vision on other people, I think there is a line of sharing your vision and then saying it's my way or the highway. And you've got to be able to navigate, again, that openness of this is my vision and I'm open to whether you want to come along or not. Mm-hmm. If we're not open, people will feel that, and they will either then go with you out of guilt, which you've then crossed their boundaries, or perhaps they don't have their own boundaries practice, or they've sacrificed themselves, which you'll feel that too. So when sharing a vision, there has to be permission for someone to say yes or no, or you're not inviting them, you're forcing them to come. And you know, those forced people who come to those parties never have fun.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. Yeah, that's so beautiful. One of the things that you shared that was like a mic drop moment for me was that when you said, I use boundaries with the people I love because that's how I love them even more.
Yeah.
I love that. I could write like Shakespearean love sonnets about that one sentence you share, Jackie, in Rock Your Bliss. But it's so true, because I think it can be a scary thing to set boundaries and goal boundaries or just life boundaries with the people who are you're closest with.
Yeah.
But also so important and nourishing at the same time.
Yeah. I love that you know that, Kel. And I think it's a practice too. I fail that often, I want you to know. I disrupt and cross my own boundaries all the time. I let people do it all the time. And as I'll keep sharing, we're always learning. And so knowing how to restore and having tools to bring ourselves back to our truth is going to be what allows us to be human and connect through that space versus mm-hmm. always doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This idea of it being a forever practice, because I love that. And it's such a good, I think I shared on one of the calls that it's very easy for me to slip into the like, oh, I've mastered this. It's good. We're done. Like, oh, I did this work once. Check. Okay, next.
I know.
Versus being like, okay, it's an everyday thing, Kelly. And it's this, my little ego wants to master everything and just be like, okay, good. Like literally like cross it off on the agenda. That's the default setting. But to remind myself that it's always a practice and it's always going to be a continual learning it, that it really is the journey. And that's been a really good, just a really good thing to chew on. It's like a piece of gum. Boundaries are like a piece of gum. They don't ever go away. You got to keep chewing it and you can't swallow it and you got to keep going with it.
Yeah, I agree. And get a new piece when it gets stale because, yeah. You know, keep blowing bubbles, keep having fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's such a beautiful little metaphor. I want to do a little bit of a pivot and talk about relationships and love, because one of the blog posts that you wrote was one of my favorites of all times that you wrote, was this one that you shared about getting ice cream with Chris while you were pregnant with Evie. And that I never forgot. I literally never forgot that. I actually referenced it in another podcast I did a while ago with Ange Simpson. And why do you think we hold ourselves back from feeling the love? And why do you think we block our own bliss sometimes?
Mm. Oh my God. I mean, such an emotional question. So for me, those love blocks and bliss blocks, if you will, they can come from anywhere, Kelly. And I think everyone's journey will be personal. However, for me, I know some of those were learned. So perhaps you had something said to you as a child. Perhaps you learned that when you did something, you received more love. A lot of it will be inherited. A lot of it will be something you read or saw in a movie. And really understanding that we are always sponging. That's why this is so cool. This is coming after the boundaries conversation. We're always being spoken to by the news, social media, a human, our inner thoughts, our inner critic, our inner celebration. And so being able to sift through what we believe, I love doing work around being in choice around our beliefs in the world. I do this work with myself often, and I always lead it with my clients. And when we can see that, oh, I have a limiting belief that in order to be loved, I have to be doing something. That was one of mine. In order to be loved, I have to make money. I have to do the chores in my house. I have to make the baskets in basketball. I grew up as an athlete. I grew up very reward-centric. And I think that's fine. I still treat myself when I go for a run. I'm like, oh, I get new shoes. I went for a run. However, there's definitely a time and a place. And so being able to evaluate, especially around love and your bliss, beliefs that you are holding about the world that might not be serving you, that might not be serving you. And along with that blog post, so much of my beliefs around love have been unraveling. I say that in present tense. It's still happening, of course. because I let myself be loved by my husband. And he's such a great teacher. Oh, Kelly, when you meet him, he's so great. He's bearded and flannel, and he's so soft. And he is so patient. And I've taken on some of those qualities because I chose him on purpose. That's one of my wiser moves. However, he's taught me so much around what it means to be loved without condition. And so in our world, we do live in a very reward-based strategy. Go to work, get paid. Work out, lose weight. I mean, if you start to look at the world, you'll see it's very reward-based whenever we're looking at marketing or advertising. And you have to realize what's being spoken at you can start to shift your beliefs. And so for me, I really had to look at the permission slip to be loved, period. Without having a follow-up question or something to do or a benefit. And so I find that really being in the space to create new beliefs, like I deserve this love, or love is given and received. Love is an inhale and an exhale, just like a breath. So you could, those are beliefs I've written down to really be in the practice, because I'll slip right back into old ways. And I'll start keeping score with me and Chris. Well, I did the dishwasher yesterday. Well, I vacuumed. Did you? Like, petty shit. And then you look at money and then it gets so emotional. I mean, it is a mess in here. I'm talking about my mind. Mm-hmm. And so when we can be in choice and practice, and I mean, I've got pink and blue post-it notes. I've got journal entries about new beliefs. And it's not easy to unravel perhaps a belief that's been there for 20, 30, 50 years. And yet it's so possible. And as you read in my blog, and as I've experienced in this life, it really does change you. And it can be in the best way if you let it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so beautiful. And one of the other things that I just love that you share in both your Instagram and your blog is that the line when you said falling in love with my husband began a huge shift in falling in love with myself. He showed me the way, and I'm so grateful, because I feel like that practice of my partner, Chris, as well, him loving me also kind of showed me the same of like, oh, I am lovable even with all of this like flaw and like,
yeah,
it's such a beautiful thing. And sometimes it's and we always just forget. And I love what you shared about the stories and unraveling all the rewards and the reward based system. I hadn't even thought about it in terms of like what rewards I was getting for old ways of being. So I'm gonna dig into that one a little bit later myself in terms of love, because that can be definitely a sticky story.
Yeah,
and a personal one too. So thank you for sharing. That was beautiful.
Let me know how it goes, please. I'd love to hear what you find out. It's eye-opening. And I just want to remind you, because a lot of people will forget to do this. We'll go into the past and look at these limiting beliefs, and we don't do the action step of choosing new ones. Mm-hmm. You got to choose new ones. Like mm-hmm. you and me just talked about earlier. Like sometimes, yes, you can mentally let go of all those old beliefs, but I find I need something new for my brain to commit to, for my eyeballs to look for, that could create a change in what I'm seeing and how I'm actioning. And yet if I look at the old past ones and I'm like, oh yeah, awareness, cool, I'm good. I'm never good. I need a new one.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that. Yeah. A big one for me that I've been learning is learning to be a receiver.
Yes.
Because I'm very good at giving. And now I'm teaching myself how to receive. Like receive everything. Like receive love, compliments, gifts, money. Not always be like, oh, what more can I do for you? Or like, okay, let me make you more elaborate dinners. Or like, let me treat my friends to this. Versus being like, if a friend gives me a book saying like, oh, thank you. Thank you. And just like accepting the gift and shutting up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's depths of practice for me as always.
Oh, I get it. I so get that.
Yeah. So this is a good spot for us to wrap up. So I just have a final quick Q&A for you. So what would you say to someone who's just starting out on this journey of the goals and the bliss work?
Oh, I would say, be gentle. Mm-hmm. I would say learn from someone that speaks a language that makes sense to you. So whether you're reading captions or starting to explore programs or choosing books, don't force the ones that you're like, oh, I hate this. Find someone that says something that clicks, just like Kelly and I have been talking, like, oh, aha moments. I chose my teacher in coaching practice as well as my yoga teacher on purpose because they made me see things I had never seen before, and I loved how I felt. Don't put yourself in situations where you're forcing it.
I love that. That's a great piece of advice, picking people that can say it in the way that you understand. Because that's how I feel about you, Jackie, and MB. Like, when you guys talk, I get it. And it's like, oh my God, how come no one has ever said it like this before? If I had known this, like, or someone had phrased it in this wording. I mean, yeah, I just, you two are like church to me. I just love the way you say
it. You're the best.
I'm like your guys' biggest fan, I swear. I'm like up there. So what are some of your other most life-changing reads and resources?
Reads and resources. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, how much time do you have? Okay. I do have a bookshelf on my website. I'm a total book nerd. I would say Brené Brown 100% is my chosen read. And The Alchemist I've read 4 times. I never, ever read books that many times. So Paulo Coelho in that book really rocked me in a nice fictional way. So Paulo and Brené for sure. I watch Simon Sinek's TED Talk, Great Leaders, or How Great Leaders Inspire Action, quarterly. I love right now in this moment, Gretchen Rubin's The Four Tendencies quiz online. Mm-hmm. And you can grab the book to learn more, but it's about learning about your own personal tendencies in life. And it was a big eye opener for me. You've seen me post a lot about it lately, Kelly. And then, this sounds nerdy, but my vision board. I'm a big vision boarder. And speaking of resources that you can access that you've created yourself is so empowering. And I have vision boards and mood boards in my journal where I literally got scissors and magazines and glue out and created from that brain space that's not so logical. It's dreamy and big picture-y. So I have my vision board, plural, on my desk, one in my room for my relationship and one right now in my journal for creativity. And lastly, people. I choose my people in my life very wisely now, which took me a long time to figure out. So really being in a conscious choice of who I want to be and invest my time with. Do they lift me up? Do I lift them up? Do we goal one another? And is it fun? And so those would be my resources and people.
Those are perfect. I'll stick all the links in the show notes. And then lastly, if listeners want to say hello and connect online, where is your favorite place for them to say hi?
Yeah, I'm in a phase of Instagram addiction. I go in and out, but I'm Jackie Carr, JACKICARR on Instagram. And my website's JackieCarr.com, as well as our Rock Your Bliss website, which is RockYourBlissMovement.com, because it is a movement. Mm-hmm. And at Rock Your Bliss are the best ways I find connect. And that's where my email and my bookshelf and all the offerings are.
Perfect. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jackie. This was such a treat and a total pleasure to have you on. So thank you so much.
Kelly, best podcast host ever. Nailed it. Thank you.
Thank you. And there you have it, my friends. That is today's show. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on the pod and sharing your wisdom and love and light with us. I hope you guys had a notebook handy because she dropped some beautiful and amazing wisdom bombs. And I just feel like when Jackie has things to say, I'm always taking like a bajillion notes. Both her and MB have the best aha moments for me. If you love this episode too, and you got a ton of value from what Jackie shared, take a second to share this show. Take a screenshot and share it on Instagram stories. Tag Jackie and I. Let us know what you thought. I would love to hear your aha moments. It's so fascinating to hear what people take away from an episode because what I learn is usually so different from what other people learn. And I think that's just such a cool and fun experience. So feel free to share it or email it to a pal or post it on your Facebook. You never know whose life is going to change as a result of listening to this, because I definitely think that meeting Jackie way back when at that one event totally gave me a new outlook on life. And she was somebody, a teacher that I ended up following forever and somebody I still continue to love learning from. So when you share things that really speak to you, you might just open the doors of possibility wide open for other people too. And that's the beauty of sharing knowledge and gifts. So my friends, thank you as always for listening and for tuning in, and I will catch you on the podcast back here soon. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. If you love this episode, please take a second to share it with somebody that you know needs to hear this message. And if you feel so called and so moved, please write an honest review of what you think about this podcast in iTunes and leave me some stars. That would truly help me out on my journey to helping millions and millions of people. And until next time, have a lovely day, and I'm so excited to see you back here soon.